That's good worship, huh? Amen. Very, very good worship. Amen. Beautiful to bring in the presence of God like that. You can say, well, can we bring in the presence of God? Yes. As we minister to him, he will minister back to us. And when he comes, it's lovely. When he comes, he deals with our hearts. He deals with our life. He deals with our needs. He shows us of things to come. What can we do without the Spirit of God? Nothing. Nothing. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you that you are here. God Almighty, who set this world into motions, is here. Thank you, Father, that you're not just here with us, you're in us. And Father, I thank you for a revelation of that this morning, that the church would understand, your church, who you are in us. And Father God, I thank you that you don't walk beside us, you live your life through us. And Father, we bless you this morning. We bless you for this message. We know it'll be good, Father God, not because of me, but because it's the word. And Father, your word is spirit and life, and I believe it will go forth this morning and will not return unto you void, but the Holy Spirit will take it and work in our hearts this morning. And I just thank you, Father. I bless you today in Jesus' name. On Thursday morning, Pastor Joy called me and said, usually if she asks me to speak, she usually gives me a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, even a month at sometimes, because she knows I like to get prepared. And it takes me a long time to prepare because I'm not a computer girl. I don't like anything to do with that, but that's okay. I can change. I'm working on it, Jody. I'm working on it. People say, have you got a cell phone? No. Have you got an email? No. Why? Because I don't like people disturbing me all the time. I'll be honest with you. My telephone takes enough, 7-8 calls a day, and I think that's enough, you know? That's enough. That's enough right now. That's enough. So she called up Thursday morning, and she said, I'm going to Dominion Republic. Would you mind preaching? And I said, oh, yes, yes. And in my side, I'm thinking, oh, I ain't got time to get this together. I plan to do this and that. But the Holy Spirit, I want to major on him this morning. The Holy Spirit, Rebecca, dropped something just like that into my heart. And it says, growing up spiritually is what I'm preaching on this morning. Growing up. A lot of times when we get born again, we don't realize that we've got to grow up. And a lot of us buck against that. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you through this, you will grow up. And you'll be for his glory. And you'll bless people. Why? Because you're full of the Holy Spirit and the Word. That's why. We're going to just lay a foundation here. Understanding that you are, and I am, a spirit. Don't hear this taught a lot much in the church. And being in the world, we're conscious of our souls, we're conscious of our bodies, but we're not very conscious of the Holy Spirit and our own spirits in here. The main person you are, in the beginning, God said, let's make man in our image. Okay? I'm going to emphasize some words this morning because sometimes it takes a while for us to get it. Let us make man in our image. What is God? He's not a human being. He is a spirit. So he made the main person. If I could look at Jody now and I could see into her spirit, I wouldn't see a little bit of God and her spirit tucked away in her heart. I would see a man. Brock, just stand up for a minute. When I look at Brock, what do I see? I see flesh. I can't see his soul. I know what his soul is important to me. But I see a whole man. So imagine that you are a spirit man. The Bible calls you the inner man of the heart. That's what he calls our spirits. So you are a spirit. I'm going to keep saying that this morning. Because why is that so necessary? Because the Holy Spirit is glued. I looked up that word joined. It means to be glued to you. He's stuck to you inside there. You and your spirit and his spirit are one. And he will commune with you through his spirit. Judge voices that come up here. always bind up familiar spirits from speaking to you. I do that every day. I don't want to hear the voices of the enemy. And he will suggest things to you that make sound nice, but you have to learn how to discern. And the way you discern is making a lot of your spirit. How many of us go through each day and are not conscious of the Spirit of God that is within us? And yet, what's the way we're supposed to live? Conscious of him, conscious when we go out to meet people, conscious when people come up and ask me for help and I'm talking to them. I should be saying in here, Lord, what do you want me to say to them? What can I say? How can I help them, Lord? And when you humble yourself to do that, and it is a humbling process, because God don't operate in pride. He actually resists pride. And I don't know about you, but I don't want him resisting me. I need him. I need him every day for my own life. And I need, a lot of times people call me on the phone and I quietly say to myself, Holy Spirit, help me here. Just help me, Holy Spirit. I don't know what to say to them, Holy Spirit. You do. And it's amazing how things will begin to come up in my inner man. Words to say to them. It might just be to say, I love you. You know, God cares about you. It might be something that, it might be a word of knowledge. It might be the gifts of the Spirit come up. I say, are you suffering in this area? I feel in my spirit. You see, years ago, people used to say, I sense in my spirit. I feel in my spirit that you need to do this or that. We don't hear of that because the consciousness of the Spirit of God in us by the Holy Spirit has been lost. We live in a world where we major on the soul and on the body. Because if you had three people standing up here and this one was the spirit, this one was your soul, and this is one was your body, a worldly person would say, well, the body is the main person. No, your body has no will of its own except what you give it. Your body can't just trot off on its own somewhere and go and stuff donuts and hamburgers into your mouth all on its own. Your soul. People like to think it's like that. Oh, I couldn't help it. I was just overtaken. No, you weren't. You had to think it. Your heart had to get into it. We allow ourselves, we justify ourselves to do things. You know, and I'm a bit blunt sometimes because I do like truth. I like truth to me and I like to speak truth to people. I like black and white, you know, I like no gray areas. Truth is truth. And sometimes people will say to me, well, you know, I can't lose weight or I can't overcome this smoking. I said, yes, you can. You've got a strong will. I remember years ago with the Holy Spirit, one Christmas really ministered through me to my son. We didn't plan it that way. He totally delivered him from some spirits of witchcraft that were holding him bondage. And instantly I saw the fruit of that. But the Holy Spirit said to me, he's still got a choice. I've delivered him today, but he's still got a choice. And it's our choices when they're out of control of the Holy Spirit in us that gets us into trouble. Every day you should get up and submit yourself unto the Holy Spirit and say, be Lord in me today. I'm here for you. You're not here for me. And that's where the church has switched that little bit. It's like, give me this. Give me that. I want this. No, that's a spoiled child. Right? And I've seen Christians, great big grown-up Christians, just wanting to stamp their feet. Well, what's going on there? How God didn't do this? Well, who is he? He's not your waiter. He's not your server. No, he's our daddy. He's our father. He's God Almighty. He's here. When he came in to dwell in you, Jody, he came to bring you into fellowship with him so you'd come to know him so that you could be a blessing to the people on this earth. What is it better than to speak life to people, to edify them, to build them up? To tell them that you can do it through Jesus. Amen. Understanding you are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. The Bible calls the spirit the inner man. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. Have you got your Bibles? Amen. Good. Don't forget, this word is your spirit food. That's what it is. 2 Corinthians 4:16. I like this because I'm getting older now, but I like this. Let me see. For this cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. How is that inner man renewed? How is your spirit kept strong? Because we need to keep our spirit strong. It's no good when a calamity happens, and all of a sudden, where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? It's not going to do. It's a daily bread that we eat. This is your spirit's food. If you're not feeding, your spirit is going to get weak. It's not going to disappear. The Holy Spirit's not going to go and leave you. But you are going to be weak. When a calamity happens or some emergency happens, you won't have any word for the whole. See, the Holy Spirit needs the word of God to work with. And he said to a friend of mine once, give me something to work with. So this word, remember this word, is your spirit food. And even people say to me, well, I'm so busy, Linda, I can't read and study. Take one scripture a day. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Take one scripture, one day is 136 scriptures a year. One scripture. If you meditate on one scripture a day and let that get into your heart, you are building and equipping yourself up for this life. See, when God gave pastors and teachers and evangelists for the body of Christ, he gave them for one reason. This is where we need a different understanding of the church. We don't just go to church. I've said this before. We are the church. And he gave gifts to you to teach you and me, to equip us. To equip us for what? For life. To equip us how to deal with the devil. To equip us to get people free, to lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. Oh, my goodness me, I couldn't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. All this self-consciousness needs to go out of the body of Christ. It's hindering the Spirit of God. Let's face it. Can I be blunt with you this morning? I don't like fancy, frilly stuff. I like something that I can take home with me, right? When somebody comes along, I was in my waiting for somebody to pick me up the other day, and two ladies come. One had shingles all over her face in my building. Horrible thing. I've never seen it on her face before. And the other one was walking like this. I just instantly, not because I'm super spiritual, don't get the wrong message this morning, but I love this, and I love the Spirit of God. Instantly, my heart, I said, can I pray for you? She said, what, for my head? And I said, yeah, let me put my hands on there. And I prayed for the shingles, and it began to dry up. And the other lady said, oh, come here, put your hands on me. And I prayed for her, and I noticed she's moving better now. You see, we need to be ever ready. Like the battery, we need to have our batteries charged up. And the only way you can have a battery charged up is to plug it into the electricity, right, Rebecca? Every single day. Every minute you commune with God, every minute you get into this word is never wasted. Sometimes I think, sometimes I go through days and I haven't spent the time that I wanted to. But because I've spent years and days, I love to study. Don't read this word. Study it. Get to understand what God is saying to you. When you see a scripture, say to yourself, what is he saying to me? What's he talking to me about today? And when you see it, and when he quickens that word to you, take it and obey it. And that's how you grow up. That's how you mature. What happened when you were born again? The very breath of God came into your spirit. Your spirit was dead as far as God was concerned because of sin. But when you said, come in my life, Lord Jesus, he came by the breath of God. He went, and you came quickened and made alive. And that Spirit of God will never, never leave you. You can ignore him. You can pretend he's not there and just carry on your own life. But he came in to be Lord, Noel. He came in to take over. He won't push you. He won't make you do anything. But he wants you to let him be Lord. He wants you to acknowledge him in everything that you do, so you get a God consciousness. See, when we get self-consciousness out of the way and we put that aside and we think of him, we're ready to minister to other people. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. The Holy Spirit came in with his life into your spirit and he sealed you. That seal means to stamp, to put a stamp on you. You are stamped by the Holy Ghost. Think of that. I do this a lot because it brings me into a consciousness of him. Because he said to me, Linda, I live in the very core of your being. Think of that. God Almighty lives in me, Brock. There's no way you go that you don't know about. There's nothing that you face that he doesn't know about. He's an ever-ready God. He don't go to sleep. He's 24 hours, 7 days a week, all year long. He's there with you anytime that you want to acknowledge him and talk to him. You were joined with the Holy Spirit. Every person has a spirit when they are born in the natural into this world, and it will live forever. If you don't know Jesus, you won't go to heaven. Sorry to say. I know it sounds a hard thing to say, but it is. It's truth. It's truth. You have to know him and allow him in your life. Your spirit will live forever, but you cannot fellowship with God unless his spirit has come into you. Your understanding of this will affect your spiritual growth because you will not develop an inner consciousness of who lives inside of you. As a Christian, it's easy to get caught up with only our soul and body, learning that God is in our spirits, and the way he will express himself to us is through our spirit. When he speaks, it's a gentle prompting. Sometimes he'll check you if you're going to do something and you just feel, no, I don't obey it. Trust me, obey it. I've gone against that in my life. I'm sorry to say I have. And it's turned out bad. He's always out for your good. He's not trying to rob you. He's not trying to hold things back to you. But he will warn you. I've known people who have been warned in dreams. They've been warned in car accidents that were going to happen. A friend of mine years ago, she was warned for 3 days that she saw somebody hanging under a car and there was blood all over the car. Now, she should have prayed against that dream. They should have canceled that out by the name of Jesus, but they didn't. And it came to pass. But fortunately, the young girl that these people knocked down had the day before had given her life to Jesus at Bethel on the mountain. But it came to pass. Why did he warn us? He warns us like you'd warn your children, Jody. If you saw them touching something hot, he warns us. So can you see the need that we need to know the Holy Spirit in our lives? He will guide you, will talk with you. He is Lord. He wants a say in what you do. He wants to say what you do with your money, who you marry. The best thing you can do is pray a lot when you get married, because one bad decision can ruin your whole life. And that's a huge decision to make. He has given to us, our spirit needs to be fed, for the word is spirit and life. We cannot have a strong spirit without eating the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. That's the amplified version of that. If we live in the Spirit, and we do, then we should walk in the Spirit. When a baby is born in the natural, there are 3 stages he will go through. What we're going to do this morning, just go quickly look at these 3 stages. There's babyhood, there's childhood, and there's adulthood. What I want to do today is take this and put it concerning our spiritual life. We're born again, hopefully we go to childhood. I don't see any bottles hanging on anybody this morning. Is there any bottles? No, I can't see no bottles, milk bottles. I'm just being silly. Hopefully we go to childhood, and then we're supposed to go to adulthood, spiritually speaking. So we're going to look at the characteristics. The process that a child goes through is the same for your spiritual life. We expect a baby to feed and grow. In this teaching, let us locate where we are in the process. Today, I want you to think, okay, and listen carefully. Not to me, but the Spirit of God gave me this. I know he did, because this was not on my mind. The church is good for fellowship. It's lovely to fellowship with each other. But the actual coming together is the equipping of the body of Christ. God is interested in you and I growing up. He doesn't need a load of babies whining and stamping their feet when we're 40 years old as a Christian. He doesn't need that. It's no good to him. Do he love you? Do he love me? Yes. But it's no good. Would your babies be happy to you if they stayed in that baby stage? No. Imagine a 20-year-old running around with a diaper on him. And that's, I'm talking about spiritually now. Okay. We expect a baby to feed. If a baby don't feed, if there's no hunger, what happens? They starve. But God has put a natural hunger in a baby as soon as they come out, their mouth is going. Sucking that milk. That's God put that in there. God put a hunger in each one of you when you were born again. But if you ignore that, you'll get to a place where you don't want to eat. And you don't want to commune with his spirit. Three stages. We expect a baby to feed and to grow. In this teaching, let us locate where we are in the process. Are you a baby? Please don't be insulted this morning. Are you a baby? It's all right to be a baby if you've just been born again. That's fine. Are you a child? Or are you a grown up? You can say, well, I'm a grown up in years. No, we're talking spiritually. Where are you at? I did when preparing this message. It was challenging to me. I could see I'm a little bit over here in the adult bit. I'm also a little bit in the child bit still. So it's good to be truthful, because unless you're truthful with yourself, you'll never progress in life. This is not made to make anyone feel bad. If we know where we need to grow up, then we can apply ourselves to do so with the help of the Holy Spirit. Babyhood, 1 Peter 2:2. Let's find this here. It's amazing how much is in the Word about this subject. Okay. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. That's plain. You can't misunderstand that. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Let's look at Romans 12. This is where a baby has to start from. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and be not conformed to this world. When we were growing up, a lot of us wasn't saved until we were 30 or 40 years old. So we've been conformed to this world system. We've been to conform to something is to be shaped and molded in your thinking to something. So you've always thought a certain way. You've always responded a certain way. But now be conformed to the word of God. Renew your mind. There must come a renewing of our minds. Because what happens, if you're born again, you go through life and you don't give much importance to the Word and the Spirit of God, you are basically still carnal. You're still thinking like the world. And you'll find it hard to overcome because your spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. And he will suggest things to you which will come up into your mind. But because your mind is not under subjection to the Word of God, you'll find yourself arguing with the Holy Spirit. And then when reasonings take over and you start living out of your soul, the Holy Spirit will get quiet. Because he won't argue with you forever. If you hear, go and lay hands on Jody. Well, I don't think I want to do that. I don't want people to think of me if I go and do that. What's happening here? The Holy Spirit and you are having an argument. And you might push it away and ignore it. And then he'll say to you, go and lay hands on her. She needs healing. Well, I don't feel spiritual today. I don't think I can do it today. I didn't pray long enough. I didn't do this long enough. And then the moment is gone. She's gone. And you haven't met that need. So the renewing of the mind and how you think and what you are conformed to, what you listen to. I'm going to touch some parts here. What you listen to, what you watch on the television. If you're listening to people cursing and swearing, you might think to yourself, that's not going to get into me. That's deception. I heard a psychiatrist say the other day, all the violence in the teenagers now is not because of what they're watching. Hello? Are you kidding? You sit at a violent movie every day, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, which is what a lot of the teenagers do now, and let that get in you, and get in you, and get in you. How many people has there been mass killings and they've said with their own mouth, I saw it every day. I want to relive what I saw in that video. Videos are not bad. But if they're bad and negative and violent and murders and killing people, you cannot watch that stuff every day. It's going to shape you. It's going to mold you into the image. Where is that all coming from? Let's face it. It's satanic. It's demonic. That's where it's coming from. So be careful what you watch. There's things I like to watch, and sometimes I will see a good movie, and I think, well, I'll sit and watch this a couple of hours. And then as soon as it starts, it's nudity. People having sex right in front of you. I'm sorry, but this is the world we live in. I'm not going to watch it. And I get disappointed sometimes. I think, oh, I don't watch television very much. It's just nice to sit and watch a good movie. But what am I? This brain of ours is like a sponge. You keep putting that garbage in. What do you got coming out? Garbage. If you sat for a whole week, I challenge anybody, and you listen to nothing else but the Word of God, whether it's on tapes or CDs or whatever. I know people don't have tapes no more. I've got tapes. I still got tapes. Huh? You don't even have CDs. Oh, okay. Well, I'm really behind now. Really behind. You sit and listen to that for a week. And then you put on the news or you put on something that's a bit slutty, if you know what slutty is. That's an English word. Oh, okay. Do you know what's going to happen to you? Because I've had this experience myself. Sometimes I'll put the television off for 2 or 3 days. When I put it on, it's repulsive to me. Not because I'm something, you know, extremely spiritual, but I've been in this. I've been getting life. I've been listening to the Spirit of God. And you put that on, and it's like, ugh, I don't want that. So fill yourself up with life, especially young people. Especially young people. I'm looking at you, Austin. And I know the pressure there is in the world today. So babyhood. We have been shaped and molded by the Word. We need the world. We need to start the process of changing our thinking. Babies need encouragement to eat. When they get a taste, they will start to get more hungry. We are responsible. Do you know we are responsible for babies that are born in this church? A lot of times people get born again, they go home, nobody gets in touch with them. I'm not saying we don't, because we do. Our pastors are very good for that. But you wouldn't have a baby and just lay it down somewhere and off you go. They need encouragement. They need encouragement to come to church. They need encouragement to grow. Yes. Just as a natural baby, they cannot look after themselves. A spiritual baby cannot look after themselves. They need to be carried for a while by the body of Christ. One day, hopefully, they will give up the bottle and they'll get onto solid food. Let's look at children, characteristics of a child. This is a little bit hard, okay? Get ready? All right. Unreliable. Curious. And this is a big one. Talkative. Strong-willed. No control. No self-control. I'm going to put that list again because somebody's going to see themselves in this. I know I did. Unreliable, curious, talkative, strong-willed, and little self-control. That's the characteristics of a natural child. But they're also the characteristics of a child spiritually. These things do not work well for us in the church, and they will get us into trouble. The biggest trouble I see with people nowadays is an inability to listen. Love to talk. I was in the hairdressers the other week, and I was in there for 2 weeks. And this lady, bless her heart, she didn't come up for breath. It was continuous. And I'm thinking, when's she going to stop? And for me, I do not like that. I just don't like that. And if we don't learn to listen to each other, how am I going to receive from you if I don't listen to you? And do you know what? A lot of people don't realize when we don't listen to each other, we're showing that other person that we're not very interested in what they've got to say. I had to talk to my friend. I have a lovely, beautiful friend. I've had her for 30 years. But when I'm on that phone, I'm on there for 2 hours, and basically all I say to her is, okay, yeah. And the other day, I was so tired of it, I said to her, and when I do speak, she just overpowers me and makes her voice louder. And so I think, I've got to talk to her about this. And I said, Della, I said, I love you. You know I love you. And I know we've been together over 30 years now. I said, but I'd like to talk to you. She said, what do you mean? We're having a conversation. I said, no, we're not. No, we're not. I said, you're talking to me. You're not listening to me. And she said, oh, well, I like to preach to you and I like to teach you. I said, well, that's all good, but I'm your friend. And there's a time when we need to be friends and talk to each other. You talk to me and I'll listen to you, and you listen to me. And she was shocked because I just allowed her for 30 years to do that, you know, and then get off the phone and have to repent because I'm upset with her. But it's good. It's good for us to listen, to learn to listen. How can you listen and receive if you don't have that mindset? When we get into a conversation, purposely say to yourself, Lord, what does Jody got for me today? Let me talk to her and let me listen to what the Spirit of God, because you've got the Spirit of God in you. I've got the Spirit of God in me. You have. Pastor Ace has. And a lot of times when we're conversing with each other, just it doesn't have to be, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, thus saith the Lord. It doesn't have to be that in the middle of the supermarket. I have fun with you. No, I can meet you. I can meet that gentleman and his wife over there in the supermarket like I meet Jody sometimes. And I can be speaking to her. And she can be speaking to me, to my spirit, and saying something and that will build me up. But you can't do that if you just this all the time. So talkativeness has to go. Curiousness has to go. curiousness where we're in other people's business. Oh. Well, I'm just going to tell you something because I think you should pray about it. Did you know so-and-so did so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so the other day? I don't think anybody saw us, just between you and I. Keep it to yourself. Next week, someone come up to you. Did you hear what so-and-so, so-and-so said? So what's happened? It's got out. We are the body of Christ. We're supposed to build up and edify each other. And if you hear somebody's in trouble, if you hear somebody's done something bad, pray for them. It'll keep your heart right. Because we have a tendency to look down on people when they fall. Right? Oh my goodness, I never thought he would do that. Who do you think you are? You can fall next week. It's true. This is why God tells us to put away childish things. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. Are you doing all right? I love God's word because you can't read it and say, well, I don't think it means what it says. I like God because he's plain talking, what I call plain talking. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood. In other words, I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. How plain is that? You can't misinterpret that. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood, I thought, and reasoned. Remember we were talking about reasonings just then? As a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Ephesians 4:14 says, let us be no more children. You can stay childlike, but not childish. The characteristics of a child being curious are not bad. They learn by wanting to know. But as we go into manhood, mature, and grow up, we need to have self-control. Little children, why do we have to discipline them most times? Because they don't have self-control. And we need to have self-control in our own life. Hebrews 5. We're going to manhood now. We're closing down to the big part. Characteristics of a man or woman growing up to maturity. Let's look at Hebrews 5, 12 and 14. This is another wonderful scripture. Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. For when the time ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again when you, by the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as one that needs milk and not of strong milk. So Paul is talking to the church here, and he's telling them, you should be at the stage where you don't need milk no more. You should be going on to meat. I thought of Brock when I was reading this. I thought about a steak. Sure, Brock likes his steak. I don't know why that came to me yesterday when I saw that, but it did. Let's read that again. When the time has come where you ought to be teachers, where you ought to be laying hands on the sick, where you should be raising the dead, the time has come. You have need that one teach you again. In other words, he's talking to people who have been Christians a long time. Be the first principles of the oracles of God and are become as such as need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So he was talking to babies that shouldn't be babies no more. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Full age means to be mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both between good and evil. You need to be strong in discernment. You need to discern. You can only discern by the Word of God. If you don't have the Word of God in you, you're not going to discern properly. You need to discern what comes from above and what comes from below. You need to discern in your thoughts, are these from God or are these from the enemy? Anything that is negative, anything that pulls you down and accuses you, it comes from below. Anything that edifies you up and pray and, you know, says, tells you you can do it, that's wisdom from above. There's wisdom that comes from below and there's wisdom that comes from above. And you need that discernment, but you can only do that as you eat the Word of God. This is your spiritual food. I want to say that again. I was thinking the other day, if we fed our spirits like we feed our bodies, we'd be good. We'd be real good. That's a challenge for you. Think of that when you're having your meal today. Not to convict anybody, but think about that. If we fed our spirit like we feed our bodies, we would be strong. It says in 1 John that the young men were strong because the Word of God abided in them. That's why they were strong. They are no longer want baby food. These are mature people he's talking about here, that they should be mature. They no longer want baby food. They want the meat of the Word. They want to know God and they want to walk with him. What are the characteristics of a manhood, a mature Christian? They're steadfast. They're not up and down. They're not ruled by their emotions. They're the same. You see them day after day. They're the same. The same praising God. The same on the Word. They're steadfast. They're reliable. You can count on them. They'll turn up when it's time to turn up. This is all part of a mature man. They esteem earthly things lightly. What does that mean? They esteem earthly things lightly. They're not caught up with this world. They don't live for what video. They don't live for television. They don't live just even football games are good. But if your whole life is centered, if you come to church on Sunday and your rest of your life is centered on everything that of the world, then you are not going to grow up. You're not going to mature. So you have to esteem earthly things lightly. What the word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you will put God first in your life, in your choices, in your decisions, when he talks to you, if you'll learn to obey him, you will grow up and be a mature man. I will. So they esteem earthly things lightly. Moses had to choose between called the son of Pharaoh and being famous or to suffer with God's children. And he chose to be with God's people. Deadness to praise. Ooh, that's a big one. What do you mean, deadness to praise? Do you like to be praised up all the time? Do people have to get a little pump and pump you up to keep you going all the time? I'm not being nasty this morning. When you're up here and you're teaching, people will say, wow, you were good. When I prophesy, sometimes people say, whoa, Linda, that was good. That's okay, but you have to be careful with that. Because it isn't me anyway. I know who I am. I know what I come in this earth with nothing. Anything good I have in me comes from him. Anything good, all comes from him. So be aware, this is a great snare in the body of Christ. You see wonderful men and women with beautiful giftings, Rebecca, but because they've got puffed up and proud, because they think they're something now, because now they're in front of people teaching or ministering, it's a horrible snare of the enemy. And a lot of times, people with powerful anointings that could have changed nations, could have changed cities, are taken down by the pride of the flesh. And what God wants to do is building character in us. That's what he's doing. You see, it's one thing to have the gifts, but if you haven't got the character to carry you, you will fall. That's why God a lot of times won't people put in the position of authority for a long time, because he's building character in them. He knows what they're like. He knows they've got some attitude. when they walk in the room. They're expecting to be praised. But there's only one that has praise, and that's him. That's the secret of this Christian life. If you keep him first, if you honor him and put him first, when people praise you, you can just say thank you. But when you're on your own, you say, I give you all the glory because I know where this come from. You keep that, you won't fall. You won't fall. But when you feel, I do this.